Oh, this is the Curlcast Live. I'm Chris.
I'm Andrew.
I didn't realize it actually started. It was like rolling forever there. It was like, maybe. Oh, man.
So minor delay, Chris, for
those that can't read, it says Sony, the PlayStation brand. Let me say it in my most dramatic voice. The PlayStation brand won't survive without Call of Duty. I can hear myself talking. There we go. Yes. The PlayStation brand won't survive without Call of Duty.
It will. That's
the Killzone and Resistance franchise is like, bro.
See, Sony's been so annoying with this whole Call of Duty thing just because they're pretending like they don't have a lot of great IPs that they've killed.
Right, exactly.
I would take them more seriously if they actually didn't have, you know, SOCOM, Meg, Killzone, Resistance. Like, dude, there's a large trending list here.
This trending on Twitter thing has been so bizarre today. Like, before we started the show, the top two things were Twin Peaks and Erection. Like, what the heck is
totally
going on?
Totally random for you to bring that up for this, but okay.
I'm just saying, well, maybe it's still
the Twin Peaks thing was relevant.
The Twin Peaks is still there.
For the Fallout show that you found out about, so.
Yeah, right here. So we'll talk about the Fallout show later, which we just found out about today. We had no idea it was a thing.
But okay, going back to the whole Microsoft with Call of Duty, Activision thing. Like, how... You agree with me, right, that Sony should just really bring back their IP?
Just yeah, 100%. They've got like, SOCOM. They've got freaking Mag.
Mag and Killzone.
They got Killzone.
Yeah. I mean, they still have the call. Battlefield games are going to be available for them. They could maybe, you know, partner with
EA.
EA to make, like, push them to make something like Army of Two, Mercenaries. I don't know. Maybe make the next.
They've got Bungie. So they've got Marathon. They've got Destiny. And they've got Pathways into Darkness.
Right. So it's just like, it's laughable.
I doubt you know what that was.
No, I'm saying it's laughable, though, that Sony is being so butthurt about Call of Duty. I know it's really them just being lazy because they've come to rely on that and Battlefield basically being yearly releases as like taking care of the shooter crowd so they can focus on other things. But really, they maybe just recreate Zipper Interactive as like a studio again and just put them on shooters. Because
Medal of Honor, don't they own Medal of Honor too?
Who owns Medal of Honor? I thought...
Oh, no.
No, that's EA.
Respawn. No
idea. Yeah. So I think if Sony decided to like actually bring back their shooter IPs, it would be much better. It'd be good for the marketplace too. Cuz maybe
I don't actually remember what do you remember Red Faction?
I remember THQ it Nordic existing. I didn't
the THQ
play
Nordic
it.
Owns them. Oh yeah, Call of Juarez. Who owns that one?
But like, there's so many titles out there. I think this is honestly silly that Sony puts so much weight on Call of Duty, because I know it sells still like crazy, but isn't it kind of dead? It feels like it's dying as a franchise.
I mean, probably.
Maybe that's just us as, you know, millennials being like, it's no longer as good as it once was with Modern Warfare 2 and everything. But
I wish somebody would bring back Time Splitters.
I don't remember that game.
That was a good one. Oh yeah, Mag. There you go, Andrew. On this list I'm looking at right now, Mag's number 3.
Dude, it should be number 1.
10 dormant games in the FPS genre that need to come back.
Yes.
They got Halo on this list. What the heck, Halo?
I think that's them just saying how bad Halo has been. So probably agree with that. He'd be like, it doesn't currently exist. So
yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. Sony has plenty of, I think the point is made. Sony has plenty of first person shooter franchises that they're not doing anything with. And on top of that, everybody else is okay with this deal except Sony, and they're all agreeing to these 10-year deals with Microsoft that Call of Duty, like, in 10 years, who knows? Microsoft may exit the console space by then.
I mean, that's putting a lot of weight too on Call of Duty for 10 years. Like, I don't even know what the state of the universe will be for that franchise in 10 years. Right. Honestly, there's so much franchise fatigue for them when with the yearly releases.
Not to mention, there are plenty of other things to be worried about right now outside of video games.
Well, not like just
the EU and Sony, and they're all so worried about this stupid Activision Microsoft deal. There's so many bigger fish to fry.
But
all this in chaos. This is not.
No, that's true. I mean, also when you factor it in, like this franchise, though, it's just, I feel like it's worn out. I don't know. Unless they like go, I guess we've made this point before in the past where Call of Duty, if it really wanted to revive itself, it really needed to go back and redo the historical games that they did, like with the Big Red one and all of that. Like they need to re-explore the more like, oh, we're going to make this a little bit more of a learning experience on some campaigns that actually happened, and bring back like World War II, World War I, whatever the heck you want. So
here's the latest news on this deal. This was right before Microsoft was doing a last minute meeting with the EU. Right. We have now signed a binding 10-year contract to bring Xbox games to Nintendo's gamers. This is just part of our commitment to bring Xbox games and Activision titles like Call of Duty to more players on more platforms.
You know,
and here's the thing that they don't say in the tweet. They've negotiated and signed a binding 10-year legal agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo players the same day as Xbox with full feature and content parity.
No. Yes. No. It can't. So no, that's impossible. That's literally impossible.
They didn't say quality. They said content. So they'll probably have full like a 480p Call of Duty.
Or this is a secret announcement that Game Pass is coming on so that they can stream it instead.
Or they'll just stream it anyway. There's multiple games that already streamed to the Switch.
No, but I'm saying like for full parity, right?
All
right,
so listen here. So it says, so they can experience Call of Duty just as Xbox and PlayStation gamers enjoy Call of Duty. We are committed to providing long-term equal access to Call of Duty to other gaming platforms, bringing more choice to more players and more competition to the gaming market. Why isn't it on the iPhone then, Brad Smith?
How many titles actually get sold on the Switch? That's something I'm actually...
Actually, the Switch pushes a crazy amount of game sales.
No, but for the... Not Call of Duty games, though?
They've never put one on there. There's zero Call of Duty on the Switch right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Second they announce Call of Duty on the Switch, you know how many people are going to line up to order that immediately?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I'm on the fence here of this even being important. I feel like
I think there will be
Call of Duty play it already on another console.
Okay, but portable Call of Duty.
I feel like the iPhone game is better than whatever will be launched.
Maybe Microsoft is basically admitting that Warzone is all they're making from now on.
Is that what this is? Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it.
Feature parody is going to be a battle royale.
That's the only game they make because they're out of
because they don't want to make anything for 10 years. Oh my god,
dude! No, they would lose. They would lose money. But honestly,
no. I mean, when you can sell a $70 Call of Duty game every year, they're just gonna do that.
I don't know. I feel like down in my mind. I feel like Warzone is the eventual whatever is all Call of Duty. No,
Warzone will exist.
I'm saying I feel like that's all Call of Duty is now is what Warzone is.
No, the Modern Warfare 2, the remastered one, actually did really well.
That's because it's Modern Warfare.
Besides that. I mean, come on, man. They're gonna be able to make Call of Duty World War III soon.
Oh goodness. No, that just adds a whole new take on the Modern Warfare 2 where they go through the airport scene.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Let's
not get into that one.
Yeah.
Comrade.
I just I'm more upset with Sony as this debate goes on.
They're just showing us how they just cannot have a seat at the table of serious discussions.
No, it's not even that. I understand their perspective.
It's a lazy perspective. Basically, like, we don't want to invest in first person shooters on our own. Call of Duty fills that space for us. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's just them saying that, hey, we killed Zipper and we don't want to bring them back.
But they bought Bungie. Like,
I don't give a crap. It's just Bungie, bro.
Yeah, but Bungie make, I'm saying, like, they have an FPS maker in their studios.
It's different.
So use it's them.
Different, though. They're not.
Here's something, Andrew. Here's something nobody seems to pick up
they're
on.
They're not a war simulator.
If Sony built a Halo-esque arena shooter out of the Marathon franchise, Halo would die tomorrow.
Probably. I mean, they could also bring back Killzone.
Bungie would revive their good name. Bungie would revive their good name and good reputation overnight if they built a good arena shooter that would spank Halo.
I just want to point out that fine Marathon, but also you could bring back Killzone.
Yeah, I mean, Bungie could probably do Killzone. SOCOM. And you still got the company. Which one made Resistance again? Was that the same one that did Infamous? No.
Sucker Punch?
Resistance did who did Resistance? I forgot now. We looked this up so many times.
But what I was gonna say is SOCOM was always better than Medal of Honor. SOCOM was a good game.
Spider-Man made Resistance.
SOCOM, are you telling me that the marketplace would not welcome a SOCOM? I guess shit. I mean, I guess maybe not, because I'm putting a lot of credit in people wanting to play a tactical shooter.
I think SOCOM could transition itself into a first-person shooter very easily.
I mean, I don't see a problem with third-person shooter. Third-person shooters are pretty good.
Oh, let me rephrase that. Making the jump from tactical to first-person, shooter. I think SOCOM as a franchise could do that. I think it would
you'd be better off taking MAG and making that game again.
Well, the question is, does Sony technically own the rights to MAG?
Zipper was a first-party. Yes.
Were they, though?
Yes. That was a Sony studio, and they were shuttered by Sony. Pretty sure they own the rights.
There's your problem.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if you brought Meg back, that one, you could be third or first person in that game.
You're right. You're right, because Zipper was the SOCOM creator. You're right.
Yeah. And with that, I think it would translate much better than a lot of the other ones, because the tactical nature of it was just teamwork more than like ducking and cover and all of that shit. So you bringing airstrikes and mortar strikes and everything into the game, I think that one might actually be way more applicable to the current market. Plus it'd just be fun. But like Sony, they killed it for no reason. That game was still hopping for a while until they actually shut down the servers.
I can hear the trees falling in the background of my house right now. Oh my gosh. This is so
terrible
bad.
Terrible weather, man.
It is. It's terrible.
Oh, we got a message from Demi Crow.
I got it right here. I personally think Nintendo should put Tears of the Kingdom on Steam Deck so I can run it at 60 FPS. Well, you know, with a little bit of legal trouble, you can do that yourself.
You know, I actually, that brings up a valid point, because they're making that a $70 game.
It's going to be a $70 game. Yeah.
I'm not upset with the concept of a $70 game per se.
They did it on the N64 back in the day. Doom 64 was $70. Did you know that?
No, but I'm more upset that this is on the Switch that it's $70.
But they put so much extra work into it, Andrew. You're going to get an extra $10 worth of experience out of this game than you got out of the first Breath of the Wild.
They're charging next-gen prices on a last-gen console. And that
maybe because they're trying to tell you that this game will be compatible with next-gen consoles at Nintendo.
No.
Here's something that people pointed out in this tweet, and I'll point it out to you too. It says, we've now signed a 10-year binding contract to bring Xbox games to Nintendo's gamers. It does not actually state the Switch. At no point in any of this tweet does it say Nintendo Switch. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So maybe Microsoft's counting on Nintendo releasing a new console while when this deal starts.
I think that that's just a safety thing to say that they'll bring it to Nintendo no matter what for 10 years. They're not committing maybe to the Switch for 10 years. They're committing to
Nintendo. That's a good point. Yeah, that'd be a bad idea. We're going to keep making games for the Switch well after that console's dead.
Yeah, I mean, while it's not bad to read into it, I think it's safe to say, yes, within 10 years, there should be another Nintendo console. That's like, that would make the Switch so damn old 10 years from now. Like,
imagine the Switch. Hey, like, the Switch would be at like 250 million sales by then.
Hey, that would be like them saying, hey, we're about to make a Call of Duty game for the Game Boy Color. Please, like, come on.
And Nintendo's like, pretty please, can you do it?
Yeah, please.
Oh, man. Here's another one. Microsoft announced it has agreed partnerships with NVIDIA. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Like, what? You're going to make your games incompatible with NVIDIA graphics cards? Like, that'd be stupid.
They're just trying to get people in the industry to be like, hey, we have no problem with this. Why wouldn't NVIDIA?
Well, what was NVIDIA's issue? Oh, nothing. Cloud gaming. Oh, cloud gaming service. Okay.
Oh, they
that's have what them. This is about. Yeah, they've got the, NVIDIA... I used to know what this was called. But NVIDIA's is actually good, though.
I don't care. NVIDIA,
listen to me for a second. NVIDIA created a like $5 thing where you can just basically have a cloud PC somewhere and beam it to anything you own.
But still, I still think there's too many services.
But the thing is you could actually connect your Steam account to your cloud NVIDIA PC. So you could download your games directly. So instead of beaming things to a hub and then beaming it from the hub to whatever you're using, it just literally takes the place of the hub and just beams directly to your whatever device you're using. So it cuts out a middleman that most people deal with cloud gaming.
That's fair.
So it grabs whatever the closest NVIDIA cloud PC is to wherever you are that's available, and that's how it streams.
Mm.
It's a much better process than what a lot of the other people were doing when they launched it.
Right.
All right, let's see. Midway through the stream, you're just going to see a tree come through my ceiling and kill me.
You're in the basement, Chris.
Doesn't matter. These trees are huge. It's like, you okay, Chris? Computer starts going, Grr! Oh my gosh. All right, let's see here. So, long story short, though, Sony's being a bunch of pansies about this whole situation. It's stupid.
Needlessly,
especially since they're already committing to 10 years of call. Like, if you can't figure something out within 10 years that you can do something else on your platform, Sony, how are you the leading freaking player in the gaming industry?
Because let's be honest,
what is wrong with you?
No, let's be honest. Shooters are not actually the make or break purchase decision for gamers.
Well, yeah, because the shooters are on every console.
but that's go. Yeah. But at the same time, people would prefer Sony's single player content. So
pretty much.
I just really think that
Dim Ryan.
They have no incentive not to make one of their first party games and bring it back. Like, they'll make so much money. I just can't imagine them not making a ton of money off of any of the titles we brought up.
Yeah. I mean, they've got so many options.
That would have to sell just as well as Battlefield. It has to.
I agree.
Because Battlefield hasn't sold that well in a while. It's been kind of meh. So.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's the image y'all need to see. Crying Jim Ryan. Literally.
Those are the weirdest looking tears I've ever seen.
That's because they're fake.
Obviously they're fake. I think we should just play the Mag trailer for everybody so they can realize why they need that game to get a number two edition.
Nobody wants that. Crying Jim Ryan.
Jack Nicholson. What about this Fallout series? When is that actually?
Oh my gosh! Look at these kind of art. Oh my god! This is the stupidest thing. Hold on, I gotta show this to you. Check out this article. PlayStation is dead without Call of Duty, states PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan in a statement. Where the heck is this at? I want to know.
Wait,
what website is this?
How do you Games? Say that?
That's not even the right. That's not even the real game.
It's a scam. It's a scam.
That's a fake website. But Malarkey still, like, Jones. Malarkey yeah. Jones. That's a fake name.
No shit, Chris. That there's no way yeah. anyone would ever say
that's
that.
That's amazing. I can't believe that. Oh, too good. I got tricked by that one.
There's no way they would say that either, because could you imagine the stock price impact? Oh my gosh.
That's
I don't think anyone believes that Sony's going to succeed in making it not happen. I think this is them just trying to make it more expensive on Microsoft, if I'm being honest.
Here's a good thing right here. Look, when I hear Jim Ryan and the whatever patrol crying, saying Microsoft won't be fair or equal as far as the Call of Duty games. And then I look up and see this. Look at this advertisement. Get exclusive benefits on PlayStation. Like, dude. Dude, what are you doing?
Hey, man.
Yeah, what is that? There's that clip. It's like, what is it? You blew it. You blew it. That's basically what I hear when I see that picture.
No.
This is what Microsoft should say to Jim Ryan. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. This movie just got like really messed with, actually. Or no, I take it back.
They just took that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They like changed the language in that. Like, I am always against that kind of a thing. Like, you know, leave art intact. Don't mess with it.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you were in favor of the fat shaming, because I wouldn't really.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm in favor of leaving the artist art intact.
Okay.
This is amazing. Oh, Geoff Keighley. Oh, man, that's too funny. Look at this one. I don't know what's going on here. These Pope ones are ridiculous. All right. Oh, let's see here. They need to come out with the Last of Us golf spinoff and make billions. Yeah, because everybody wants the golf simulator where Abby can hit Joel's head with the golf club to hit a hole in one. That's what we all want. Andrew's cringing down there.
Part two sucks so much. I'm sorry. No, okay. I honestly have legit complaints right now with the Last of Us TV show, because in the last episode, they've made Joel weak as shit. They made him into a bitch. Okay.
I ain't watching it.
Yeah, well.
I got better stuff to do with my time than mindlessly consume content.
I didn't mindlessly consume it. I raged consumed it while I complained that they turned Joel into a bitch. So yeah. Just saying. There also, my actual complaint with the Last of Us TV show is they're trying to mimic The Walking Dead. There's legit changes they've made that are explicitly copycat towards
The Walking Dead. Well, to be fair, The Walking Dead is the most popular zombie
franchise. I don't give a crap, bro. They've made changes to the story that are made purposely to mimic The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, did they?
Yes.
You know what I want? I want zombie dinosaurs. Can we get that?
Why?
I just made something up. Like as if a T-Rex can't be.
No, okay. One of the characters they changed to make them deaf.
Oh, so they just copied Quiet Place.
Oops. Well, no, one of the characters they made was deaf and reliant on other people, so they didn't get, like, whatever. But that's basically a copycat of elements of The Walking Dead, because there's a prominent deaf character in there, so whatever. And it's just like, that's just one.
Did they ever circle back to make any type of plot importance to the characters that off themselves?
What do you mean the characters circle back on that? Off themselves.
Yeah, did they ever circle back to give plot importance to the two characters that off themselves?
Which two who off themselves?
The two that were inserted into the series that didn't originally exist. They ever circle around to make a plot reason for that?
I mean, they existed in the game. They just weren't prominent. Yeah, they existed. One was dead already.
I don't remember that part.
No, one was dead already.
To be fair, the last time I played this game originally was like when it came out on the PS3.
You're talking about episode 3, basically.
Yeah.
No, they're not important at all afterwards.
Huh.
They get the truck and everything from them, and a bunch of supplies from them, and that's about it.
Well, how do I want to phrase this? I mean, this.
How do you want to phrase it? Dude, no,
they were trying to advertise the MAID program in Canada. No,
basically,
I saw a bunch of articles about that, like trying to reference, like, a zombie apocalypse is not compared to a.
The only prominence that those two characters have is that singular episode where they basically kill themselves and then leave everything for probably Joel. Because that's who they figured was the first person who's going to come and visit. So that's how they get a bunch of guns and food and a truck. So that's about it.
There's
not the most useful episode, honestly. I would have rather have had a background story to Joel a little bit more in the beginning.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody wants the Joel backstory. Like, that's what we've all wanted.
They've given some hints to that, where he's like, him and his brother have arguments about how they killed people and stuff. So
I would have considered watching that episode and that episode only if they did one. That would give me something.
Next
to watch.
Episode is a background on Ellie and how she got bit.
Yeah, but she's also immune.
I guess that's the DLC. Yeah.
So how do they find out?
It's about her first getting bit.
Yeah, but doesn't her friend like? Isn't it her friend that bites her?
I don't know, man. I didn't play that DLC.
You didn't play the DLC? Honest.
No.
Isn't it her? Okay, so I remember watching a little bit of the DLC and being a little confused because I think it portrayed her and her friend as just playful, and then like somehow they were like secretly in love with each other or something.
Yes. So that's why I didn't buy it because they made it a thing that didn't make any freaking sense.
I remember being a little confused, other than like, you know, she really cared about the other character that ended up biting her, I believe. And maybe that's not exactly, I think her friend gets bit or they find out she's going to be turned and then she accidentally bites Ellie or something, or one of the zombies near them bites Ellie. I don't know, but it was something along those lines. And like, okay, sure. Let's just pretend that happened. But the deal, it's funny because like the DLC in my opinion is just not very good.
I think they had a really good first game.
They had a great first game, and then they like tried to mess with the storyline too much.
Well, okay, let me put it this way. I think from what I've seen, obviously with part two and with this TV show so far, I get the impression that the directors of the game, I guess the creative leads or whatever, I get the impression that they don't like Joel as a character. Like, they just never liked him. That's the impression I get.
Here's what I think about Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2. Here's what I think happened behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. All right? This is my personal opinion on what happened. Sony approached Naughty Dog and said, we want you to make a zombie game. And they're like, all right, let's make a start to finish, you know, one-off zombie game. Who cares? And then Naughty Dog made a masterpiece. And they did not intend to make a masterpiece, but they wound up with a masterpiece. And so they released it and it sold like crazy. And then Sony said, can you make another one, Naughty Dog? And Naughty Dog said, no. And Sony said, well, you're going to do it. And Naughty Dog's like, no. And they just dragged their feet. And then so finally Sony's like, you're going to make it and you're going to like it. And Naughty Dog is like, all right, let's make it so Sony never makes another Last of Us game. Let's make the worst game that we could ever possibly come up with. Let's kill Joel because everybody loves him. Let's make Ellie the worst character ever. Let's make her lose her hand so she can't even play the guitar. And then Sony will be unable to force us to make a third game in this series.
Honestly, as much as I hate giving them credit there, it's honestly, that's not probably that far off from what could really exist.
Like, why would Neil Druckmann defend this horrible plot line so much?
No, honestly,
if he didn't want the franchise to crash and burn so nobody would play it ever again.
Honestly, this, okay, the way they've added to Joel's personality so far, it's like they hate him. It's like
they put a finality on. They put a finality on Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah,
it's clear to me there cannot be a third game.
But what I'm saying,
That won't stop Sony from beating a dead horse.
Dude, no, but you could easily make a third game. You just do a prequel.
If they ask Naughty Dog to make a third game, it's going to be about Abby, so they can kill the franchise as a whole.
I'm just saying
they want that thing dead.
I'm just saying that I got the impression that they don't like Joel.
I got the impression they don't like their game,
or they don't like the game. One of the two, but I mean, they're almost kind of more similar to, I would say, DICE with Bad Company. They don't know why people like it. They didn't like it themselves. They don't probably like it themselves.
The plot line of Last of Us Part 2 reads like somebody who didn't like making that. And it does not make, like, for me, I have to believe the storyline at least a little bit in order to get something out of it. Yeah. I don't buy Last of Us Part 2 storyline. No, I like Last of Us Part 1.
I agree.
I mean, if I was in Ellie's shoes, I'm killing that person. Okay? They aren't going to exist because of what they did to Joel.
Dude.
And if I can't play guitar anymore, I might have pulled what they did in episode 3 on myself. Like,
I'm just saying,
life is ruined.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, I agree. They definitely treated it like they didn't like making it. They did not enjoy making it. And were probably, like, forced to. Maybe they enjoyed the first game, but they definitely did not want to
make, I don't think they ever intended on making a second one.
Yeah, no, that's...
They probably didn't even want to make the DLC.
To be fair, they might have enjoyed the first game, but they definitely did not enjoy the idea of having to add on to it.
This is the problem with sequels. And the constant expectation of sequels. A good game, start to finish, does not need a sequel.
So here's the question, though.
That's why they've remade Last of Us Part 1, because that's the good story.
Well, the question really comes down to it.
Otherwise, they would have done.
Did they kill Joel just to be shocking? Did they? Because that's it. Comes off to me as if they did that to be shocking, and it was lazy.
I feel like they never showed Sony that Joel was going to die until like a week before release, because there was talks about delays.
I feel like there's no way that actually.
Like, can you imagine if they walked into a boardroom? If they walked into a boardroom and like showed him, like, oh, because even part of the trailers, I don't know if you remember this, but even part of the leaks and trailers they did right before the game came out, They hinted that there may be something happening to Joel, but they wouldn't tell anybody what it was.
See,
do you remember that?
Yeah, but okay, here's the thing about that. The way that whole thing went down, I would have been okay with it if you didn't play. Like, if there was better writing in the very beginning, and it was like the setup scenario where
you should have been able to see the entire backstory of Abby before that happened.
Right, like if they had done
it, just hate that woman so much. Plus, honestly, where is she getting all those gains from, dude? It's a zombie apocalypse, nobody making freaking like whey powder and stuff.
No, okay, this is how they
steroids, man.
This is how they could have done the game to make it better, right? If you had maybe had Joel killed early, like you kill him in like a cutscene, right? Early in the very beginning of the game, and then you do like the flashback. And you're playing as Abby on her way wherever, you don't know who she is, right? You have no idea what group she's part of or whatever. And then you kind of start to see the pieces fall into place of how you're fulfilling the cutscene, and you don't like it, but you have to continue on that journey. And then you could proceed with the Ellie revenge tour. Like, that would have been 1,000 times better, because you're like, oh shit, no. And
you know what absolutely is going to happen though? When what? Sony finally stops dragging their feet and brings Last of Us Part 2 to the PC, somebody's going to change the game. There will be a full-blown fan mod that has a better storyline than the one Sony wrote for them.
Yeah, there will be.
Like, you're going to have, like, Ellie's significant other, like, snipe Abby before she can kill Joel or something ridiculous like that will happen.
Yeah, and then they have to go on another revenge tour. They don't go on a revenge tour. They go on a preemptive strike tour to destroy the...
somebody's going to just drop C4 in that scene so everybody dies.
It's going to be a thing where it's like, they'll never stop hunting me, so Joel has to go out on this mission now so he can save the town from future violence. See, that's where I thought it was going, like, until Joel gets bludgeoned. But no. Just let Joel die the way that is. Yeah, that's...
No, I think when it comes to PC, somebody's going to write a much better story than Sony ever
did. No, obviously. That's the problem with it, right? That's why... I think that's the number one way that you can judge if a story's good or not. If you are playing it and you can... You're not thinking of how good the story is. You're not just enjoying the story. You're actively recognizing,
trying to rewrite it.
You're actively trying to rewrite it. Like, okay, it would have been so much better if they had just done this instead, right? That's how I view TV shows, movies, video games, and books. If I am like actively thinking, it's like, okay, you really should have done this instead because that's just better. It makes more sense to have done this instead. You kind of reached here to try to shock for no reason, and it was bad. You should have
when you reach for shock value, it never ends.
Yeah, it never works, and it becomes too obvious, right? Or when you purposely make someone like die for
Game of
like
Thrones. A stupid reason.
Not even
R. Martin.
No,
sorry, I don't know what happened with me just now.
Dude, his was actually good though.
No.
Which one?
Dude,
Stark was not good.
I don't mind Ned Stark. It was the rest of the Starks that had to die. They didn't need to kill Rob. There was like literally no reason for that.
Killing—that's a major portion of this. I disagree. No. I disagree.
The Red Wedding was stupid.
The Red Wedding was a brilliant ploy by the Lannisters.
It might have been good in the books. It was executed horribly in the show. It was just like, oh, you wouldn't marry my daughter? I'm going to kill everybody. Like, that is the stupidest way they could have. How does that portray to the screen and make sense? It's like this dude's so bent out of shape.
Because that guy literally is bent out of shape.
That makes no sense. Let me just sacrifice my entire alliance with the North so that I can.
He had another alliance.
He had not a good one.
Yeah, he did. He married off his relatives to other Lannisters. He had a perfectly fine. He made a different alliance.
But who comes out on top at the end, huh?
I'm not saying he picked the right horse long term. I'm just saying he thought he was going to pick the right horse for that portion.
If you look at the scene in the show is, you didn't marry my daughter, I'm going to kill all of you guys now.
Well, fine. I mean, I
just like, why would that be the way you do it?
It's not the worst. I'll defend this one. I actually enjoy the Red Wedding as a concept.
Whatever. I don't care. The stupidest plot line in the entire Game of Thrones, though, was the White Walkers dying from Arya just killing that one guy.
There's no freaking way that happens.
So stupid.
I'm sorry. The book's not written yet, but there's no effing way George R.R. Martin does it. Because
that book's never getting written.
Dude, if it ever gets written. Okay, fine. Here's my mini rant here. When you watch behind the scenes, right, the behind the episode thing that they did, the freaking directors were like,
ready for Star Wars and wanted to just end it.
Dude, no, I know, but they're like, yeah, so we were just like thinking, it's like, no one expects Arya to kill this thing, so let's have Arya kill this thing. Wouldn't that be great? No one's expecting it. It's like, did it make any sense? No,
that was reaching for shock value.
Yeah, they're like, there's like, no one expects it.
Let's like Night that. Dragon. Like, we never even got to see Night Dragon do anything.
I know. It's just
I wanted Jon Snow riding a dragon fighting Night Dragon. That's what I wanted.
It's just this thing where when the director comes out and admits that they're just like, hey, the only reason we picked this was because we knew you weren't expecting it. Don't worry. We didn't even build up to it at all with anything to make it make sense. We're just going to do it. It's like, okay, guys, just like, I get annoyed with certain aspects of the way they did the show, just because technically Sansa is not supposed to be in the North. Just saying.
Isn't she also not supposed to get RAPD'd?
No, she's not even supposed to be there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that should not have happened.
Her best friend that was like her little like lady's maid type, like her best friend who from one of Ned Stark's like right-hand guys, one of his right-hand guys, his daughter, who was always like friends with Sansa, is forced to pretend to be Arya Stark and brought to the North to marry the freaking Ramsay kid. So it's not even remotely the same thing. I guess Chris freeze up here. Well, this is awkward because I do not have control of the screen. Okay. Apparently Chris will be back shortly. Gotta give him a minute. So there's going to be me randomly talking for a little bit. So we're eventually going to get there to talk about it, but there's a Fallout TV show that's coming out on, I think it was Amazon. One second. Let me look it up. I did not have the tabs open. That was Chris. Let's see. So yeah, there's a Fallout, obviously everyone knows what the Fallout game is. So that's the post-apocalyptic game from Bethesda. Everyone got nuked. And apparently that's coming to Amazon Prime. And I guess it's not exactly a new announcement. It was announced, they got the rights, I guess, back in 2020, and there were some announcements in 2021, and they just hired some showrunners last year. When is the release date? Does it have one? I'm not seeing it. It will release sometime either this year or next year, which I guess filming began last July. So that's actually not the craziest timeline. Maybe it takes a year of filming and then like a couple months of just tightening that whole thing up. And, you know, probably will be out maybe towards the end of this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they managed to make it before 2024, or it'll just be a early 2024 release. I'm sure Chris has a few other ideas on this, but he is AWOL and has not made it back yet. But I guess don't know. Let us know in the comments if you're excited for this. We'll probably definitely review it at some point. Let you know what we think of it once it's finally released. Given the general trend for shows based on TV series, though, it's kind of like, I don't know if we're optimistic per se. It's kind of a weird one for a TV series anyway, right? Because as far as story goes, there's a lot of openness to Fallout games. So it'll be interesting to see like what direction they take. Obviously, it almost gives me the vibe that how Dungeons and Dragons movies kind of go, where there's a lot you could do with it. Oh, Chris is coming back. One second, everybody. Okay, so all I'm seeing right now is a spinning wheel for Chris. It's as he adds himself to the stream. Let's see if he can manage it and get his opinion on the Fallout TV series.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. I was just telling everybody about the Fallout TV series. I was kind of saying I'm not very optimistic just because of how TV show adaptions of games have kind of gone recently, but
no doubt about that. Yeah, my computer literally just decided to crash, and now it's doing diagnosis and everything else. So
okay,
that's where we're at. So I'm on my AirPods on my phone.
So what are your thoughts? Because right now I'm more curious to see what they do for the story, since Fallout's kind of like a relatively open game, you know, just like Elder Scrolls.
Fallout will either be really good or it'll be really, really bad. And I'm assuming it's going to be the latter.
Well, I'm talking about the story narrative, right? Like, because of the Fallout games are generally an open RPG style game, right? It almost strikes me kind of as how they make Dungeons and Dragons movies, where it's just like they pick a random story within the universe and just roll with it. So it's like, I'm curious if that's kind of the direction they're going to do with this TV series. It's just a skin of Fallout.
I mean, I could see it going either way, honestly.
Right.
In reality, the Fallout franchise will live or die on whatever storyline they choose to go with.
Right.
And they, because it's such an open-ended, you know, like just open world Western RPG, they have so many options and they're going to pick a bad one.
I mean, I'm conflicted, right? Because it's on Amazon. They've done good with shooters. They've done
Rings of Power.
Yeah. Well, they've done good with military style shows. They've done good with, The Boys, that's pretty good. I kind of view this almost like a hybrid there, where it might be within that genre of consideration compared to Rings of Power, which was awful. So I'm expecting, are you expecting it? It is unwatchable, but are you expecting it to be dark? Like, it's a rated M game, obviously. So it's like, are you expecting the story to be dark and kind of brutal? Because I kind of am, and I'll be kind of disappointed if it's not.
You think it'll be, I mean, I would expect it to be, just because
I'm expecting some brutality, at least, like that you can't trust people. It's apocalyptic, right? So I'm expecting it to be a bit backstabby. Brutal.
I mean, no doubt. It has to be. Like, how else would you do Fallout?
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, that's the thing. I don't know how else you could do it. Amazon did good with The Expanse too, later seasons, so
they only owned it for part of it, though.
I think from seasons 3 through 5.
Yeah, because I actually thought the first two seasons were better than.
No, the first two. Okay, the first two seasons were better, but they also had the better storylines to work with. That's the complaint. Like, it's a fair complaint because the first two seasons were the best, like, story. But given the evidence, right, of The Expanse, Terminal List, The Boys, concept. Wow. Too many Chris's. There's too many Chris's in the stream right now.
We're going to do this.
But no, given you need to only have one voice. All right.
I do. I'm muted. I'm muted on one. So we're, you know, we're only getting one from me.
All right. I heard one point I heard too. So yeah, the thing I was going to say is I'm hearing myself through your, yeah, you can't, you got it. No, the thing I was going to say is, given the evidence of those three series, this is kind of like a hybrid, I would say. It falls within that mix. So I would expect Amazon to not disappoint too drastically. I think the problem is that it's Fallout. Like, if they didn't say it was Fallout and they just made it similar to Fallout, it might end up being a better TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I think a post-apocalyptic, you know, nuclear wasteland is a great spot for a modern TV show because you can kind of just do whatever you want. Like,
right.
I think that, like, unless you just tank, like, if your story writing is bad, that's the only way you tank that, because the world you have to work with has so many possibilities.
Well, okay, I'll say this though. Fallout has a nostalgia aspect to it that's pretty dope, just because
I mean, if you use the Fallout themes, like the
with the era that the bombs went off, you know, like where they're saying that it was the heyday of the 50s basically.
I mean, everybody wants to be the 50s. BioShock wants to be the
50s. Yeah, I'm just saying that's like that heyday nostalgia effect, and it allows you to have all the cool aesthetic for everything from vending machines to whatever, household appliances. Everything just had a...
Hold on. Have you heard of this? Apple's TV show?
Which Apple TV show?
Their reference? Hold on. Let me pull it up. This one. Hello Tomorrow.
Oh. Interesting.
Latest Apple TV Plus series, Hello Tomorrow, has delivered on retro futuristic setting. It's like these alternative future histories, right? Because it's like if you had continued on from a different point in history to the future and changed a few things. It's the butterfly effect. You start, if the 50s technology changes significantly, then we're looking at a completely different world.
I don't think you're gonna see
Pip Boys. That ain't gonna happen.
No, but like if Three Mile Island didn't happen, I mean, our entire electrical grid would probably be nuclear.
We might have had fusion years before we had fusion.
Maybe. There's a lot to be said there, right?
This isn't even the right title. Netflix and Cool to Fallout. Wow. Where is Pastor Ching?
I honestly don't have a problem with that. We've talked about it before.
I know. I want to find the article on the Fallout
TV. I heard there was a trailer, so.
I ain't watching that on stream after what just happened with my PC, okay?
That's fair.
It just forked itself somehow.
I'm just afraid that it would be better if they just made an unnamed thing versus saying this is Fallout.
I mean, that's definitely a thing.
Right. It adds extra expectations to it, I think. Needlessly, too. Just needlessly.
There we go. My browser keeps trying to refresh this page, and it's killing my entire internet. So, Polygon, fix your freaking website. What the heck? All these pop-ups. Why? Your website sucks, Polygon. That's a fact. Fallout is dead since 76. I mean, maybe they're looking at Halo and like, hey, maybe we can cash in on a garbage TV show on a series that's dying.
I mean, no one has really done nuclear apocalypse in a long time, so maybe
it's not. I was gonna say they've done it. It's been a while.
Not in a long time. Everyone's been focused on zombies, so like maybe this is actually a decent idea for a TV show.
Actually, I would love a Westworld video game.
Maybe. Isn't that just Red Dead?
except it's not real. You can kind of make it be whatever you want. Here's the trailer. Uh-oh. Hold on. What is this? All right, screw it. I'll play the trailer. Let's see. Where's the actual trailer?
No, it's beyond the game. I'm not seeing shit for a trailer.
Oh, there it is. This is like the set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they gave you a glimpse into what it looks like.
No.
Huh. Interesting.
I'm interested in watching it. I've enjoyed most.
I'll give Fallout a shot. I liked Altered Carbon a lot.
That was Netflix.
Oh yeah. What? I don't think there's ever been an Amazon series that I actually watched all the way through.
Not The Expanse.
I haven't finished that, dude. It got too like weird.
How did it get weird?
Well, I'm on season 4, I think. And
oh, you don't like Particle?
I don't like how weirdly politically social it got. Like, we want to keep our colonizer world. We don't want to leave. And it's like, you will give them what they want. The guy looks like Jay Baruchel. I'm like, this guy sucks.
I don't know.
He's such an awful, like, he's not a hero. He's not. He thinks he is. He's got a hero complex going on. But
yeah, I just I'm a bigger fan of The Expanse versus like Star
Trek. I liked that guy that was in the first two seasons that he keeps seeing in visions. I like that guy. The guy that got like absorbed into the particle, the guy with the hat that was like the bender guy.
Yeah.
I liked him. I thought he was the best character on the whole show, and they just forked him over to the freaking particle. So stupid. So many good characters in that show got ruined. And then they introduced this weird faction of rogue people that are flying on a Mormon spaceship they converted into a battleship. I'm like, okay, sure. I'll press X to doubt.
It's fun. It's fun, man. It's fun. Don't be such
imagine a converting a freaking Mormon church ship into a battleship somehow.
Yeah, man.
That's just bizarre. Like, for one, where did they get all the money to build that giant planetary spaceship?
Mormons.
Like, no, but where did they get the money?
The Mormons?
How do they have more money than the freaking space fleet? I mean, that ship is the biggest ship
in the entire show.
Yeah, but it's the biggest one.
Dude, it's one ship. Show me a bigger ship.
Yeah. I mean, like, here's the space fleet of whatever the United World Command.
It didn't have the same capabilities as each of those
I don't small care. Ships. It can house almost the entire, like, freaking colony in one ship.
Dude.
Hear me out. The entire army's fleet. No ship compares in size. And then here's this, like, Mormon church ship is the size of the Death Star.
Yeah.
Explain that. Why is that a thing?
I mean, they're just making it.
They have all the money today already. Oh, we got conspiracy.
I mean, they got a lot of money.
We got the conspiracies going on here.
They got a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, just actually, bad luck.
you're forgetting that, you know, the way it's structured, they're just using all the young guys as free labor to keep them away from the ladies so that the old guys.
I did watch a few documentaries on how they operate.
Multiple wives. So, you know, they didn't have to pay for labor, Chris. Okay.
Okay. You get that one.
Yeah. So, you know,
They only have to do business with themselves. Yeah, I mean, that is, after watching several documentaries on some of the falling out of the different foundation, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They did a lot of crazy stuff. Anyways, long story short, I'm just surprised that they have this giant ship in the Expanse that is larger than every other ship you see in the entire... Like, why is that the biggest ship? Where did they build that thing?
Households, okay.
How did you build it? And how did it get off Earth? They build it in space?
Built it in space.
Okay, I'll press X to doubt on that one, and we'll just keep it.
You need to watch the whole dev series. You need to watch the whole thing.
The only thing I like about that ship is the idea of the
I love how
the flywheel generator. Yeah, stolen. Where did they even get it from? Like, how did they steal it?
I just love how they stole the ship from them. No, because it was being built at the one space station. That's right. And they just commandeered it.
Ship is 2 kilometers long. I know. It's like, how? I don't understand.
They built it in space.
That's the only way you could build that ship.
It's just it's just a slow moving space station. It's not like it's that complicated.
Yeah, but the Death Star doesn't move fast either, and look at how much power that is.
I understand. I'm just saying that it's just a space station.
It's no moon.
It's in space. Man. It's not like there's a shit ton of
friction. Seriously, stole a 2 kilometer ship like it's nothing. Listen, but the best space show I've ever watched, the last space show I watched start to finish without skipping a beat, Battlestar Galactica. Don't say that too loudly, Mike. Yeah. You know, Biden will be back at some point. He might hear
it. He'll find Mike squatting.
What are you doing in my house? Get off my lawn.
Petting the golden, the German Shepherd that attacked Biden.
I don't know that story. I'm not going to pretend.
The dog he tried to grab the tail of when he got out of the shower slipped and fell.
Yes, Battlestar Galactica owns Bears, Beats, and Battlestar Galactica.
Goodness.
I hope you know the reference. Do you know that reference?
No, I don't ever watch Battlestar Galactica.
You've not watched? What is wrong with you? You talk about The Expanse like it's the greatest sci-fi show ever, and you haven't watched Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, my God.
No, I ain't talking to you about sci-fi until you watch that show.
I don't care.
That is like lots of hours of good things.
Fine.
You have to watch it. The reveals in that show just outpace everything. So yeah, so say we all. Well, that's not even, you didn't even write that right. It's so say we all, not so say well all. What the heck, Mike? Come on. Bears, Beasts, and Battlestar Galactica.
You know,
Chris, that was when Jim Halpert made fun of Dwight on The Office. Chris,
have you gotten Hogwarts Legacy yet?
I ain't buying that stupid game.
Why?
I don't know.
You know, you should.
When it comes out on the Switch and it's $70, I'll buy it.
I already told you, and you might as well just rub glass in your eyes and then play it on whatever else. And it'll.
I mean, I will consider getting it on sale on the Steam Deck at some point. I will consider it. But here's the thing. There's nothing about that game that is appealing to me.
Why?
I absolutely could care less about that
game. It's actually good.
I don't doubt that, but it's not, not up my alley.
It's actually.
I have yet to see anything about that. Like I see people put up gameplay trailers and stuff like, you know, Let's Plays and stuff. I have yet to click on a single video or I haven't even watched the trailer. That's how little appeal it has for me. That'd be me going and watching Pokemon. I don't care. I'm not watching it.
I thought you do watch Pokemon.
I don't. I haven't touched a single Pokemon game since Game Boy Advance. Oh, I take it back. I did play Heart Gold. That was the DS. And I played White Version, I think. Those are the last ones I played. It was Nintendo DS was the last time I played a new Pokemon game.
Okay.
DS has been dead a long time now.
Yeah, it has.
I'm more likely to go back and play my Game Boy Color Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone game or the Chamber of Secrets because those games freaking rock.
Fair enough.
I like RPGs. I don't want whatever this open world Harry Potter thing is. It ain't up my alley. I don't care. That'd be like me going back and playing Red Dead. I ain't doing that either.
That's fair. With going back though to Amazon having that TV series for Fallout,
I would watch a Red Dead series TV show though. I would totally watch
that. I would watch that. I still say someone needs to make a Bad Company.
A Bad Company TV show would be good. Yeah. I'm not gonna disagree with you on that one. I think we agreed on that every time you bring it up.
I know I bring it up every time because I still can't believe no one's making a Bad Company TV series.
Because EA doesn't care about Bad Company.
Dude, someone could easily offer them enough money to get the rights to make that.
Okay, but as long as whoever does it doesn't completely bork the show like they did Halo. The Halo show is an abomination.
Okay, you can't.
The Halo show is an abomination.
No, but you can't screw up Bad Company.
Paramount should cancel it. That's how much I hate it.
You literally could not screw up Bad Company if you tried.
Yeah, you could.
No.
You could most definitely screw up Bad Company.
There's no way. There's no way in good conscience you could do it.
You could. You just make a really bad show.
The type of people who would be interested in making that into a TV series, there's no way they would destroy that.
Let me give you a little hint.
It's not like it's Halo.
Those people that want to make that show you're talking about, they won't hire them.
Dude. All I'm saying,
I've seen the hiring process. The people that would make those shows would not get hired.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, Halo sucks because they hired people who wanted to get artsy with it because it was it's a sci-fi whatever that we can kind of try to be fancy with. No,
I hope Paramount actually eats you know what over the Halo show.
I could see Amazon doing Bad Company okay.
The Rings of Power. I would be more willing to watch The Rings of Power than the Halo TV show. And I don't want to watch either of those shows. Okay, never mind. I'll finish The Expanse before I'll ever watch Halo again. I won't watch.
I've already told you. I've said already.
I'd have to be like take a drink for every stupid thing in Rings of Power
before
to watch it.
It's very easy. Amazon already committed to like 5 seasons of this shit. All right. It's very easy. Amazon can repair the series in 2 actions. First of all, they make a movie styled like Tropic Thunder to mock the first season and have it where at the end there's like, how much did I pay for that shit? No, that's not going to be the series. And then they release a new series.
Have Jeff Bezos cameo as an elf.
Completely from scratch, redoing the entire effing thing. And that's the only way they'll ever repair it.
Who has the rights to the Chronicles of Narnia again?
Netflix.
That could actually be okay.
Could, but also that's been like in the works now forever. I have no
idea. So is the live action Avatar that's never coming out. Every time they promise that, like, they get a bunch of subscriptions, and then it never comes out.
I just don't.
No. I want Jeff Bezos to play an elf, and then I want them to put a wig on his head.
I. Yes. I just don't know if I don't know what to expect for Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know if I have faith in them to be true to the source.
They need to produce. All of them be like 3-hour movies because Netflix really has the money to do that.
You're going to make all of them as a TV series, like separate seasons.
I know. They should start with the horse and his boy. So if they screw up, I won't care.
That's the one that's one of my favorites. I hate you. Don't ruin the horse.
No, let's just start with the magician's nephew. Let's just start with the magician's nephew, which could literally be one-hour episode.
The shittiest story of them all.
The one that they decided at the end to make it the first book for no reason.
It's made the first book for a reason. It explains the
origin. He wrote that one like way after.
Yeah, it explains the origin of the freaking witch.
Yeah, but who cares? Like, you don't need that.
I know you don't need it. I'm just saying.
In fact, a lot of people tell you to self-insert book one at like book 6 and read them in the chronological order.
I read it first. It doesn't ruin shit
because it makes more sense in the world building aspects if you read it at number 6, I guess.
Oh, for the different planets or whatever.
Yeah, I think they said it makes way more sense if you read that one. I guess the magician's nephew was almost part of his space trilogy, and then really? It like randomly shifted focus to the Narnia. He didn't know where to put that book. He just didn't know what to do with it.
I'll be honest, The Horse and His Boy is my favorite, though. That one is a good story.
I like Prince Caspian and Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Is that the Treader, right? Voyage of the Dawn Treader, yeah. I like the giants aspect of it, and they're like stealing breadcrumbs and stuff. Like, that was good. I like that one.
The fact that
I think Prince Caspian was my favorite, actually.
Really?
I think so. I'm trying to remember which one I liked the best.
I didn't like
The Horse and His Boy. That one kind of just felt like it treaded on forever.
Nah, it's just a journey. It's a good
one. The battle at the end
is good too.
I like the last book a lot.
No, I'm saying the battle at the end of The Horse and His Boy is good and everything.
Yeah,
it's okay. Still has it because it takes place before the kids go back.
Yeah, no, I know. They're all kind of interlinked, all the different books in the series. Yeah. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is like the weirdest one from a chronological standpoint because so many things happen during The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It'd be kind of cool if somebody made a version of the Chronicles of Narnia where you read everything in the actual order that it's supposed to happen. Like, that'd be kind of nice to read
everything. I'm trying to think of all the books now. I'm blanking on all.
They're all on my shelf. There's seven of them.
Yeah. First one is Magician's Nephew.
Then Lion, the Witch, and the
Wardrobe. Horse and His Boy.
I think Prince Caspian's next.
Yes.
And then Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Yeah. I forget the... That's what now? Five?
Yeah. No. And then there's...
I forget six and seven.
The last one's the great Battle or something.
Yeah, but I guess I forget what is the story of the sixth one, because I know what the story in the last one is. There's just a shit ton of conflict.
Yeah, there is seven, so I'm right about that.
Yeah.
Silver Chair. That's right. Silver Chair. Forgot about that one.
What happens in the Silver Chair?
The fact that I don't remember tells me not much.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm just kidding.
Or isn't that kind of paired with the last battle? Aren't those kind of...
Well, which one linked? Which one does Aslan die in? Prince Caspian?
What do you mean Aslan die in? He fucking dies in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on the does table.
He? I don't think
he yes. Does he? On the table? They kill him on the table.
I'm mixing these words. I'm mixing these all together now.
Yes, you are. I mean,
yeah, that's right, because he wrote The Magician's Nephew. The reason why...
He shows up later. Still,
I don't have a tree on my house. No, I thought that. Yeah, that's right. So he wrote *Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe* was first.
Yeah.
Then he wrote *Prince Caspian*. Then *The Voyage of the Dawn Treader*. Then *The Silver Chair*. Then *The Horse and His Boy*.
*The Horse and His Boy* is late. Okay. Oh my goodness.
And then he wrote *The Last Battle* after that. So he wrote the prologue right before he wrote the last book.
What can you just click on the Silver Chair? I just can't remember what is that one about?
I like how it's a children's fantasy novel. Yeah,
I don't even care. It's so good. It's still so good. I don't care.
It's set decades after Voyage of the Dawn Treader, but less than a year later in England. King Caspian is an old man, his son and only heir, Prince. Oh yeah, Prince Rillian. I forgot about him, or Rylian. He sends two children from England to Narnia on a mission to resolve the mystery of... Yeah, the prince is
missing.
That's
right. It sends two new random kids.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really care. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well. Oh, yeah, and there's Trumpkin the dwarf.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
All right. Anyways,
okay. That makes sense. I think this will be an interesting TV series when it's finally out. But I'm curious. I'll probably end up rereading the series.
I might need to as well. All right. Now that we've gone way off script here, though.
Yes, definitely off script.
If you could pick any other than Bad Company, anything to be made into a TV show, and you could direct it so you'd know it actually be good, what would it be?
Oh, shucks.
Because I'd probably pick the Resistance series.
You'd pick the Resistance.
I think that'd make a great zombie thriller with the Chimera and everything. That'd be super cool. Although it's basically the last.
A part of me would want Dragon Age.
They already did that. Anime, right?
No, it's not actually the Dragon Age story. It's a story within Dragon Age.
Gotcha.
And it's like a branch off of like that third game, Inquisition. Gotcha. So if I was to pick, I'd probably pick Dragon Age Origins because I think you could make a pretty good TV series out of that. But some of the monsters and stuff are a little wacky, so maybe it wouldn't actually resonate as well.
Don't worry, it's just me checking my cameras to see how bad my house got destroyed.
I'm honestly not sure what game I'd pick. I might go back for the Ezio Assassin's Creed games. That's a legit contender.
Okay, no trees through my roof yet.
I think do you remember was it Lair?
Yep.
That dragon game, that one would have been kind of cool as a TV show or something. A little bit better than the game probably was on PS3, if I'm completely honest.
Probably. All right. Well, so let's conclude this with a really good positive note here. Everybody should consider reading Chronicles of Narnia. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Go back.
If you've never read it, read it. If you have kids, read it to your kids.
And you can watch The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and a couple of the movies. They're pretty decent, but that's all I got to say about that. C.S. Lewis is an amazing author.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a decent movie. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a decent movie.
I don't know if I rate the other ones. They make Caspian too old.
Yeah.
I kind of have a problem with that concept.
But yeah, C.S. Lewis is good. Staples Lewis. Clive Staples Lewis. Yeah, he's like, I hate my name. Anyways, that's what he did say in the quote that I saw recently. But
I mean, that's a good initials to have, I think.
C.S. As always, though, since we're getting late here, I am Chris.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you on the next
Krillcast.